Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
Oh, it's such a blessing to see you, Mr. President. Thank you for taking time out of your day. Oh, gracious God, thank you so much.
All right, what's the question?
All right, Mr. President.
I kind of ride the middle of the road. I told you this before. I own guns, and I'm for abortion.
It's definitely built inside orthodoxy in terms of portrayal of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father is the large black African-American woman. The Holy Spirit is an Asian, and then Jesus plays himself.
They believe that every problem practically can be solved if you just had enough condoms. I call that ideology condomism.
Well, for all the criticism that Candace Parker is getting, you would think that this young woman is throwing away a perfectly good career because she's pregnant and she's going to keep the baby and have the baby and be a mother. Of course, she's a St. Louis-born basketball player of some repute and happily married. Wants to be a mom. And, you know, basketball can wait. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live on this Tuesday afternoon. It's February the 17th. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. After our short conversation with Colleen Carroll Campbell, we'll continue our series with Greg Kokel on discussing your Christian convictions. Today, he calls it the Columbo technique or the Columbo tactic. It's very simple. It's very useful when discussing your Christian convictions. That's coming up in just a little bit. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Where are the feminist critics of Candace Parker wrong?
Well, you know, Candace Parker is not just successful on the basketball court, which is what everyone's been paying a lot of attention to, of course, but she's also happily married, she's financially stable, and she very much wants to be a mother and to do so at a young age. She was raised by parents who, in their mid to late 30s, apparently, she didn't have as much of a chance to see her dad, for instance, in action in his professional life, and she wants her kids to get a sense of her accomplishments on the court and to be part of the exciting times that she's experiencing as a WNBA star. So for all of these reasons, she and her husband have decided to have a child, and the flack that she's been getting is because she is at that tender age of 22, which not so long ago wasn't considered all that young for having children and starting a family. But for many feminists, and I think more and more Americans in general, there's often this idea that the 20s are part of this prolonged adolescence that cannot be impinged upon by any kind of serious obligation, whether it's to a spouse, to children, or even to aging parents. It has to be this time of utter and complete freedom so that you can kind of live out all those teenage fantasies that apparently one decade isn't enough to contain. So.
I wonder, it's strangely reminiscent, or at least seems to have an affinity with a story that has been rolling around the news cycle for a couple of weeks about the octuplet mother, actually mother of 14. But it seems as though the same kind of criticisms are being leveled here in a different form. Irresponsible for you at 22, please, 22, to be starting a family with even one baby. Is it irresponsible?
Well, I certainly don't think it is. And I you know, what I think is irresponsible is what we don't hear enough about, and that is the fact that many women in their 30s or 40s, finding that they have not found Mr. Right, haven't chosen to settle down at that point, but now realizing they want kids and want to do so before their biological clock runs out, choose to use artificial reproductive technologies to have fatherless families. And I think this is something we really need to think about, the consequences of this. The New York Times recently did a profile of a group of women who fit this category, very proud of the fact that there are really no men in their children's lives. In this particular case, these weren't lesbians, although that's also a growing trend. Both lesbians and gay men choosing to have families in which a child will grow up without any male role model or any female role model, depending on which we're talking about. So you've got that trend. You've got this single mother by choice trend, which of course we have to distinguish from someone who, you know, has children and for whatever reason is you know, her marriage doesn't last, or a man walks out on her, or she's a single woman confronted with a pregnancy and chooses to keep her child. I think that's very different than orchestrating your life around this ideal of having a fatherless family. I think Nadia Sulman, the mother of the octuplets, certainly fits that category. But it's interesting, of all the complaints about her, they've tended to be more economic. Well, she doesn't have a job. She's kind of a loafer. We're going to have to pay for her kids. Well, yes, but I think as Christians we need to look at the deeper issue of the fact that there's no man in her life who is going to be a father to these children. There's only a sperm donor who the kids probably will never know. So we don't seem to talk a lot about that, about the disintegration of the traditional family, but boy, do we give folks like Candace Parker a hard time when they want to start a traditional family but do so a little younger than some people think they should.
You have written also about reporting in the Wall Street Journal about the first time in a long time decrease in the age of first births. Tell us about that.
That's right. And that decrease was noted in 2006. That's the latest year for which numbers are available. It was a slight decline in age among first-time mothers. It was from 25.2 years old, that was the age of first-time mothers in 2005, down to 25 years in 2006. But what was interesting about it was that it was for the first time, that decline was posted for the very first time since the collection of this measurement, this data, began in 1968. So all of these years, we've constantly seen the first year of childbearing, that age for women, increase. And for the first time now, it's turned back down. And I think this is a consequence of a number of things, but one thing I think it is young women, and I think Parker is probably in this camp, looking at some of the fertility troubles of older women or some of the troubles of women who've chosen to forgo marriage and then wind up as single mothers in their 40s, for instance, and saying, you know, I don't see why I need to wait until then. If I'm happily married and, you know, I'm 25 years old, that seems like I can accept the responsibility of a child. Certainly not everyone finds the right person at 25. Not everyone becomes a mother then or should, but again, we go back to this idea of this prolonged adolescence, which is really kind of silly, this idea that the 20s are just this lost decade that can't be spent on anything meaningful, have to be spent purely in selfish pursuits.
You, because of your tender age, you are well outside the baby boom generation. I'm stuck in it, and so I'll let you level the criticism if you are one to do so. How much of this is in the form of feminism, the baby boom generation simply saying, hey, we waited to have our kids. What do you guys think you're doing, not doing just like us?
Well, I think there's a lot of that, and I think with regard to feminism, it also extends to career choices. There was a story in the New York Times not long ago about young Ivy League women who intend to get their degrees, marry their college sweethearts, and have children relatively soon out of college and stay home with those children. Now, that's not the choice of every Ivy League grad, nor does it have to be. But what was interesting was the fierce and angry feminist reaction from baby boomer feminists saying this is appalling, this is a betrayal of us. Again, the idea that, you know, if feminism is all about choices, then why is it only the women who take kind of the anti-traditional path are the ones that are allowed their choices, those who have children earlier, who opt for marriage, who opt to stay home full-time with their children, instead of being given the same tolerance that, you know, others are given, they're treated as if they are somehow substandard and kind of letting down the sisterhood. And what I think this is very uncomfortable for a lot of older feminists because they're realizing that there's an entire generation of women coming up behind them who are looking at their choices and liking some of them and saying, no, I don't want that for myself with regard to other choices. That's healthy and normal, but it can be a bruising experience for the egos of some of these middle-aged feminists.
With only about 30 seconds, Colleen, should Christians in a cultural sense be considering advocacy for earlier marriage?
I think there's an interesting argument to be made there. Again, I do think there's room for individual freedom, taking into account individual personalities. You don't want to start becoming doctrinaire about something that, you know, someone may not be ready for, because certainly we want marriages to last. That's the big thing we want. But yes, I mean, I think if you really hold chastity as an ideal, both before and after marriage, then, you know, it's difficult to ask young adults to live up to that ideal if you're also expecting them to remain single well into their late 30s or early 40s. I mean, it's just not very realistic. So if we take chastity seriously, then I think treating dating and courtship as something serious and something that can be serious before the 30s or 40s is also part of that package.
Folks, you can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's columns under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a regular guest, a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Thanks, Colleen.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we'll talk with Greg Kokel about discussing your Christian convictions. Today we're going to introduce really probably the best single insight, and this is a man of considerable and many insights, many of them very good, most of them very good, I should say. The Columbo tactic, he calls it Columbo, reminiscent of that television character from the 70s and perhaps early 80s. Crumpled overcoat, wandering about aimlessly, apparently unwitting of much of going on around him, but asking questions, and then in the end, always getting his man. It's all about asking questions. We'll talk about the Columbo tactic with Greg Kokel after this.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. But due to the heavy volume, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available 24/7, 618-223-8384.
What kind of physical and mental anguish did Jesus endure in the hours leading up to his death? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled He Was Crucified. It's written by medical doctor Gerald Stanley. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can purchase He Was Crucified by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Enrich your meditation on Christ's passion with He Was Crucified, 1-800-325-3040.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.